Hello, welcome to Do Ask, Do Tell. Or shall I say this week, movies you should ask or tell.
You didn't really think that before you started talking, did you?
I thought of that before I started altogether. That was movies you should ask or tell. Following some brief discussion of the news. I don't know. I mean, whatever we're asking or telling on this show, I don't know. I was just told to ask and tell. No one told me what. I've just been winging it for months. I don't know. So this is no exception. Well, we're all here. This is a busy show. So on this show, dear listener, just to take you for a rundown of things, we're going to do things a little differently this week. This week, we're going to do a bit of news, because Ian's apparently going to say something and Tom's going to start talking about it. That's as much as I know. I'm as excited as you, but hold on.
So am I, as I have no idea.
It's a surprise for us all. This is very exciting stuff. But after that, we're going to do a sort of review, discussion, talk about the movie Pride from 2014, directed by Matthew Warchus. Warchus? How are we saying that? Warchus. Warchus.
Yes.
Yes. He's only made two films. It doesn't matter.
Matt W.
Matt W. So, without further
Matty
ado,
Dub
then.
To his friends.
Ian.
Matty Dub.
Matty Dub. That's his DJ name. He's DJ Matty Dub.
Yes, he might be DJ Trip Hazard, but I digress.
Anyway, Ian, what is this thing you're going to say to Tom? I hope it's not upsetting.
It's not upsetting, but it's a misreporting of a news story that happened this week that's got Tom reasonably riled, and that's a gay man has been cured of HIV.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, one of them gays.
No. I mean one of those news someone's being cured of HIV. These do crop up every so often, and you read it, and it's like, no, he hasn't.
Well, so far, this man does seem to have been cured of HIV, but it is, as with all of these things, it is so far a one-off.
And very early days.
And it's also, as you said, these stories come up every couple of years, and this one did come up 3 years ago when it was first announced that this is what they were trying to do, and it's come up again this week. 3 years later, that we've done the thing that we said we were going to do, and it has worked kind of in only one person. So, you know, it's interesting and it has promise potentially, but the way that the mainstream media has been largely reporting it as magic cure for HIV, millions to be cured, everyone gets cake. It's irresponsible reporting that's got a lot of people very, very excited unneededly. And it can cause a lot of problems. You've got people who are positive and aren't comfortable with their status, who are super excited that this cure is just around the corner now, apparently. And some of them may even come off their medication because they don't like the medication because of side effects, but it doesn't matter because there's a cure around the corner. And, you know, will be hideously upset in a year's time when it finds out this guy, his HIV comes back. And then you've got people who take stories like this as a green light to not look after themselves or take proper precautions because it'll be cured in a year or two. So, and, you know, even if this is the magic cure, they found it today, you know, that's at least 10 to 15 years away from being on the market and being available to your average people on the street. So.
Absolutely. A drug is just goes through so much testing and trials and so on. This is not happening this year or next year or.
No, even if it's a miracle cure, we've got numerous animal tests to go. Then we've got numerous human tests to go. Human tests, blind tests, double blind tests, randomized trials. And then you've got years and years of regulation. And then that's whether, you know, various health companies around the world will then buy the cure because no one, needlessly to say, it'll be very expensive. Someone dying in the background.
That's me. Sorry. I need to have a little coughing fit, apparently.
So yeah, it's just the irresponsive reporting by the it, and there were clickbait articles as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just huge gaudy. A cure has been found! Exclamation mark. Click here to find out more. Reporting, which is just a little bit, more than a little bit bullshit. For all the reasons that you have just said.
It would be nice.
I would just be repeating you.
It would be nice if when they discover a cure, and I truly believe that the cure for HIV will come in our lifetime.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think so. It's just...
It's just nice to think that it would be like when Dr. Crusher on the Enterprise discovers the cure for something, and it's like, now I've got the cure, give it to everyone. Quick, get it out there as soon as possible.
Yes, without any proper testing.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is they'll discover the cure and go, huh, it was that. And then they're going to go home for the day. And then the next day they're going to have a meeting and decide about how to proceed with it and what the next thing, and it's just going to be...
Now what do we do? Who's got that form that we need to fill out in triplicate in in a blue pen because they won't accept it in black pen?
And then it becomes a class issue because no four people will be able to afford it.
No.
Yeah. So, don't get too excited yet, people. It will happen. It will happen, but I wouldn't be ready to lose a safety net if I was someone who needed one yet with it. No. I think I've just discovered a fun new phrase for condom. Safety net.
Safety net.
Yeah.
If it's netted, Richard, it's not effective.
No, because it wouldn't really be netted. That's just a name.
Like fishnet condom.
Yeah.
Or net curtains.
I'm thinking something that looks kind of like, what's haggis looking? Like the lining of a stomach that would look netted but be effective. And I'm giving this too much thought.
You really are.
It really works, though. Hey, do we need a safety net? Hey, that so works. I've discovered something there. Well, there you go. So is there any other news in particular, or shall we talk about the movie?
There wasn't any other news in particular.
Okay. We talk about the movie. So then, before we start, in an effort to make this slightly easier to edit, I'm going to have a massive coughing fit, and then we can begin.
Awesome.
Fun.
Okay.
That'd be the popcorn lung.
It is. It's actually a little tickly throaty thing.
Sun-kissed bronchial.
If I get germs from Alison, I'll be furious. It's all her. She's the one who goes outside where the people are. If it wasn't for her, I'd never be ill.
Interacts with the public.
I know. Do you know how filthy they are? Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So Pride, I've had this on my to watch list for nearly 2 years.
Me too, actually. I watched it for this show. I've been meaning to watch it for ages.
I watched it when it was in the cinema, and not since. And I vaguely remember it.
Okay.
I watched it for the show as well, because I'm really bad at watching films I'm told I should watch.
Yeah,
oh, me too. Hence the show starting an hour late. Apologies, everybody, for that, by the way. I should have started with that. Sorry. My bad. So this is a little known, obviously, not, I want to say low budget, but no, this was not done on the cheap, while it's obviously not Avengers 2. But it sort of slipped under the radar. I remember it being advertised on TV a lot, but I don't know that it was never really lauded as a great film or anything, but I'll be honest, it was 2 hours of smiling, laughing, and a lot of fun. And for you guys, crying also.
Lots
Not
of
for you.
Crying. Not, oh, no.
Right.
No, Richard doesn't cry at films.
Should we give a spoiler warning at this point? I think it's going to be very difficult to discuss this particular film without giving anything of the plot away. And plus, I'll be honest, in terms of plot, not the most complicated, twisty film you've ever watched, really. I had a lot of it down before it started, I think.
It's also a 2-year-old film.
It's, if you want to watch it, Mind you, I wanted to watch it. I didn't see it till just now, so I don't want to push anybody into it as such. But yeah, spoilers from here on in. So I have to ask, first of all then, very spoilery, what was the bit that was supposed to make me cry, or were there multiple bits?
Oh God, I cried a few times, but you know, the last 15 minutes.
I cried when they sang Bread and Roses.
I cry at television adverts, so you're asking the wrong person.
Okay.
I cried at the X-Men cartoon when I was pregnant, so again.
Some of that was very sad. Some of that really was genuinely very sad. You can't be criticised for that at all.
I cried because apart from being an LGBT woman, I'm also a trade unionist, so this hit me in the double feels.
Yeah.
Double for me. I'm exactly the same. So I think I texted Dee when I finished watching this, just before I phoned her, still crying, saying I'd never felt more pride in being a trade unionist and a gay man after watching this film.
I am not either a gay person or a trade unionist. I just watched it as a film. I do have a lot of... Right, so my family going back until my dad... Sorry. All of my family until my dad, not going back, because that's just my dad then, isn't it? But coming forward until my dad, we're all miners. This, you know, in Sheffield in particular, my granddad had some great things that happened to him in the mines of Sheffield during the Second World War. All that kind of thing. So I'm on side of the miners on this particular one. But I've never had a... My granddad died when I was very young, so I can't say I knew him when he was a miner, that sort of thing. And he was certainly never affected by any of the miner strikes and that kind of thing. He'd stopped mining a long time.
83, 84 was when I started to get physically woken. So I was like this 13, 14-year-old tomboy on the South Coast who was going out every Saturday and collecting food to take to the miners and going on marches and stuff. So it really resonated with me.
So you're not an awful lot different from the Joe character in this film then? Who was, no. What, 17? He was 3 years older than you would have been.
Yeah, not very different at all. I was on all the marches. I went up to Greenham Common for C&D. I was like, my mum and my family were quite left wing, and I was brought up into that. So collecting food for miners on a Saturday in Hastings town centre was just something that we did. So it was weird because as an early teenager, there was this one side of me that was really fiery and political, and the other side of me that just wanted to go home and listen to Duran Duran. So it's like an odd time. And that kind of brought back that kind of awkwardness about what I was doing politically and otherwise with my life at the time. It was weird because it was when I was first starting to realise I was gay as well. So.
I had all on with just starting school, so not really all that political. And I've done that thinking, you know, I'm not the youngest one here anymore, and I hate that now because you two were probably not even born, were you?
No, I was minus one.
There you go.
I was minus a bit more than that.
Podcasting with children. Okay.
And now I feel like grandma.
Don't worry, we'll get you on a show with Alison at some point and you'll be fine. I can say this because she can't hear me.
I'll tell her you said that. You
won't, I'll kill you.
I'm tweeting her now.
Anyway. So all I'm saying is really that I totally understand how for young gay men, this film has a great deal more personal meaning and relatable stuff in it than it does for me. But so what, you know, that's just a point of fact. It doesn't make any difference. It actually does a really good job of communicating this story to people like me. I think you've sort of gone you're working to two different audiences. You're talking to the people who want to see them and themselves represented in a film and their story being told. And you're also talking to the people who aren't minors or gay and need to have the story told to them. as well.
Yeah. I think it succeeded in hitting everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I am gay, but even I, you know, I don't necessarily relate with that many of the characters in it because I grew up, obviously, later, quite a bit later than when this film was set. And I came out quite early and I was in a, you know, a very liberal family and in a liberal school. Everyone was happy with it. And I've never really had any issues with being gay. Not much bigotry in my life until I ended up being positive. That's a different issue entirely. So for me, it was quite interesting to watch and see other people's sort of journeys of being gay and, you know, the bigotry back then, because it's not something I've actually experienced that much as a gay man.
That is really interesting. Have we crashed?
I feel like, sorry.
Ah, I thought we crashed.
No, we're here. Sorry, I was struggling. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So.
It is interesting because whereas like you didn't see yourself in the film, I didn't, apart from the whole Joe thing, I didn't really see myself in the film where it came to the women. But it was nice because I could see people I knew in those characters, if you know what I mean. There's like the which is the women's section, and that was a lesbian who is going to want to break off and have the own women's section, and it was just, and the whole line about what we're going to do with the banner, give it the lesbian so love a banner, just have me roaring because it's true.
Yeah,
we do love a banner.
I give it to the lesbian, they love a banner. I love
the constant lesbian vegetarianism jokes. I wouldn't have a lesbian because I can't stand the cuisine, but we can have another gay.
I know, it's lovely. It's just, and when the woman got off the bus at the end and she's like, where's my lesbian? I was just like, oh, that was just a moment that made my heart swell.
We're going up to Swansea to have a proper les off.
Yes.
It's always great.
He was my favourite character for the entire film.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's when you have these characters that you expect to be bothered by something, but they're so not bothered by it, and they just fold it into their lives as it is, and that's fine. And they're just rough as arses with it, and it's wonderful to watch. You know?
It's that moment when the guys realise if they learn to dance, they can pull.
I'd love that little bit of it.
Yeah.
That was absolutely wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. If I actually had to pick out a favourite little storyline through the film, it would be the two guys who'd learned to dance.
So it's just,
is that where you're relatable?
That was totally relatable. In actual fact, that was the relatable part for me. Was the, if you can dance, you get girls. That's what it is. And it's true, you know, to all the young men out there, you do get girls if you can dance.
And the young women.
And the, well, yeah.
If we can dance, we get them too.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's worth being able to dance. Do you know what, though? It's not, maybe, I don't think that the idea of men not dancing is quite the thing anymore, is it? And even in 1985, was it? 1984.
It's
kind of maybe just a small rural Wales thing. I think there were men on the dance floor in London in 1984.
Yeah, they're probably gay though.
Yeah. Totes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this, when did men start dancing then? Because that's always been, there's, as long as I've been old enough to go out drinking and to go to nightclubs, there's just been no question, of course you'll dance. That's where the women are.
Yeah, single men might do.
Right.
Yeah, but generally, if a man's partnered up, unless he is a gay man and he's gone out specifically to dance, or he's one of those very few men who does like to dance, as soon as you get partnered up, woman's on the dance floor dancing with her mates and he's looking menacing at the bar.
Oh, but nightclubs are crap if you're partnered up anyway. Do you know what?
Nightclubs are crap generally.
Exactly. Look, you sort of realise this, I think, as you get older and you perhaps get into a longer-term relationship where you realise, yeah, nightclubs are horrible, horrible places. And the only reason you ever went was to try and pull girls. And now you've got one There's no reason to ever set foot in another nightclub ever again. That's just how
I'm single.
Goes.
I don't want to go to a nightclub.
Why would you? They're horrible. It's just
so one of my favorite TV shows quotes is, "Oh, I don't want to go out to drink. I have better wine at home, and I can take my bra off."
There you go. That sums it all up perfectly for me. I think, yeah. Why would you? Why would anyone want to go? Unless there's like a thing to see. I mean, you know, Alison used to go to see very specific DJs and that sort of thing, but that was never anything that floated my boat in particular. So I don't know. Why would you want to go to a nightclub? How did we get onto this?
Dancing.
Dancing. Yeah, but you've got to dance to get girls. That's wonderful. There you go.
So yeah, I loved that pair when they did their little synchronized bit.
Yeah, they had a routine. That was the best bit. Had a routine.
That was 1984. That was like you worked something out with your mates and you did stuff all in a line. Like you copied what Five Star were doing or Paula Abdul or something. So that was proper early 80s, the fact that they had a routine.
And then 30 years later, we have Ashley Banjo. And
what's one of those?
He's a tall bloke, does dancing.
Okay.
Sort of. I don't like it.
It's like not, Anton de Beck.
It's not dancing. It's like doing lots of sharp movements to music that's too loud and obnoxious to be actual music.
No, it's like street dancing. Nothing like Anton.
Yeah.
I prefer to watch Anton.
I prefer to watch Star Trek, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think that's the way forward. But moving on, the cast list of this film had me worried. I will admit, every name that popped up in the opening credits was like, there are names of actors that if you see they've got a new film out, you'll want to watch that new film, perhaps before you even know much about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Perhaps Robert De Niro 15 years ago. You know, that kind of thing.
Chris Pratt now.
There you go. And there's a lot of people like that in this film. But when there's a film with all these people in, and it didn't really become that big a film, that's usually an indication that it's a bag of shite. Like the last 15 years of Robert De Niro. So
yes. I thought you might be building to something.
Yeah, but this has become the exception that proves the rule to me.
Yeah, it's because it's gays.
I think that's sadly what it is.
Try and get the general public to go and watch a film about gays.
Yeah. They're just about every feminist I've ever seen it.
Gays and the miners' strike. You know, yeah. you write that down on a piece of paper and it doesn't sound like a rip-roaring success.
It on paper, it sounds like, why would you make that film? Why would you make that? Is life just too happy for you? You've got to bring some of that into it. Is that what it is? That kind of level of filmmaking. But no, it's a happy film. And so I can see people sort of finding it unrelatable. But no, speaking as someone to whom as someone who might have deemed it unrelatable, look how much I was just laughing at the guys with the routine. It's got something for everybody in it. It's got
old ladies waving dildos,
which is funny. Friend, whoever you are, come
it
on,
it is saying old Welsh women saying rubber is always going to be funny.
Scissoring,
exactly.
It was the. Do you know? I was kind of disappointed to find it when they first arrive in the in Wales, and there's the old lady that's got a question about something she's heard about lesbians. Yes. And they drag that out as long as they can. You're like, I really want to know what this thing is.
Not now.
Aren't they all really vegetarians? No, yes. Vegetarians.
Vegetarians. So I could have gone with them dragging that out to the end of the film. You know, it's like, because as soon as she said it and they shushed her, it was, oh, now what are you doing? Come on. The old ladies were spectacular and kind of stole the movie a little bit.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't it nice to see Imelda Staunton and not wish she was on fire.
Yes.
Do you normally wish Imelda Staunton was on fire?
Have you seen Harry Potter 4?
Any of the Harry Potter she's in.
Yeah. How can you not hate that woman so much? It's like the woman who plays Nurse Ratchet in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, she evil.
Maybe she has a family and they know her and they love her and they know that she's very nice. But to me, she will always be Nurse Ratchet or Kai Winn, and I will wish she's dead. I'm sorry. That's just how it happens. It's the same with Moriarty in this movie. You are Moriarty. Deal with it. You might as well just change your name now. Because whatever you're in...
don't really trust you. What are you up to?
Yeah. Why did they let Moriarty into MI6 in the movie Spectre? That was clearly asking for trouble. You were watching that thinking, haven't you seen Sherlock? Why is this guy in charge? Clearly he's going to be a problem. And Imelda Staunton is definitely one of those people who, once she was Dolores Umbridge, she will always be Dolores Umbridge, and I will always hate her so very, very much.
So now she can be a dildo waving Welsh granny.
No.
Will that not take that away?
No. No.
Kind of sorry for her.
It is bad because the fear and the anger emotion is much stronger than the giggle at the dildo thing. I don't. It just is. Like, she was just so. She made them write lines and it scratched it in the back of their hand while they wrote. That was horrible. Horrible woman. And then she came back for more trouble in the next one as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoilers for Harry Potter, everyone.
Oh, now, come on. If you haven't seen Harry Potter now, you've... Come on, people.
Theresa May of Harry Potter.
She is.
Yes. Yes, she is.
I'm kind of hoping that it will be revealed that Theresa May is just a character by J.K. Rowling. And she's... I don't know.
Or David Walliams.
Yeah. Written by J.K. Rowling. Played by David Walliams.
You've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
No.
Just saying.
See, now we need to scour for pictures of David Walliams and Theresa May. You're going to be right. There's going to be none because they are the same person.
I feel like tweeting to David Walliams to say, can you please dress up as Theresa May and have a photo taken? Because that should exist. But hey, I've left Twitter.
I'm not sure it should.
I can't do that. I'm not going back on there.
You've left Twitter?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Okay. It's a cesspit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought,
it's my cesspit.
Fuck it. I don't want to do it anymore. I felt liberated. Honestly. It was
I'm still on there. I'm not on there as often as I used to be, but I am still on there.
It was like peeing in the sea. It was that level of sort of liberation. Something that shouldn't feel good, but oh God, it does. You know, just deleting that app off my phone.
That peeing in the sea is where you went on that for feeling good.
I just kind of, you know, I think the other example I gave was like my ice bucket challenge, but I didn't want to remind everybody of my naked frozen balls. Should we talk about Pride?
Should we talk about anything but your naked frozen balls?
I don't know why.
It's a really unappetizing farm foods dish.
It is.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I'd probably get banned from Facebook again for mentioning it, like I did with the faggots. It said it on the box. I did not use it in a... Pardon?
Mr. Brains?
Yes. I did not use the word in a sentence or in an... It was a picture of food, and I got a 12-hour ban from Facebook for something for that. It was...
Really?
Yeah.
And yet I report people showing pictures of, like, women being raped and decapitated, and they go, it doesn't contribute in our community stand.
I have certainly never posted photos of anything of that, but a photo of an actual product for sale in the freezer at Asda, which is where the picture was taken... That got me banned from Facebook briefly.
Strange priorities.
There you go. Just and it come up on a thing because obviously if you're not from this country, no one really believes they're real, right? No one. Do you try and explain to an American that we have a food called faggots. They don't believe you. They don't believe you, and I don't blame them for that. So, yeah, it's a real thing, everybody.
Talking of faggots, Pride.
He says, dragging us back on topic. Yes.
Just to check, that's one of those jokes Tom can say, but I can't, isn't it?
Yes,
okay.
We kind of just dived in and started talking about what we thought of the film. Does somebody want to explain what the film's about? just briefly. Headlines.
It is, as I say, quite basic. It's the miners' strike in the summer of 1984, which, if you weren't alive, as apparently some of us were not at the time, you can go back and probably find some internet article on that. It was not very nice, to say the least. Alison's dad was actually a policeman at the time and can probably furnish you with a few stories, though, but he'd go mental if I gave you all his phone number. So they...
Yes.
Although Quite rightly, we don't get on, maybe one day I will give everybody his phone number. But moving on, so... the miners are striking, and the gay people realize that they can show solidarity with the miners because they're pretty much going through the same thing. They suffer abuse. They're being punished by the government for existing in so many ways that, you know, just they've got a lot in common. And so we have a group who formed what do they call themselves? Is it the Gays and Lesbians in Support of Minors group or something like that?
Yeah.
It's Lesbians and Gays Supporting Minors.
That's it. And they start collecting money and raising money for the miners who are on strike. And it's basically the story about how they find a Welsh mining community to actually accept their help, because obviously they're suffering prejudice from the miners. There are no gay people that you know of in these small Welsh mining villages. So we have the sort of, it's not the fish out of water story. What is it? It's the I don't know, you're two groups that shouldn't mix, but try to mix. And at first there's tension and friction, but by the end of it, everything just goes fine. And everybody's friends, and it's great. And is that a fair summation of the film? Obviously, there's drama and events that occur throughout.
Yes.
But that's the gist of it.
People try to stir the hornet's nest out there. And
it is.
And it's based on a true story. This actually happened.
In fact, a friend of mine, Ange, was actually at the Pits and Perverts gig.
Mm.
Was actually there and still has the original T-shirt.
So, yeah, it's funny when this is the life imitating art imitating life thing. I know too many people who could write you an essay about all this. But, yeah, it's a true story. And it's... I will go as far as to say, I think we kind of have an obligation for all of us to know stories like this.
Yeah.
That stuff like this happened, what people went through to get to where we are, and what it took to do that.
And the reason that they decide to start collecting for the miners is the very basic thing of an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. If you're trying to take away some rights from those people, they might not be my rights, but if no one stands up for them, who's going to stand up for me if someone tries to come and take away mine?
These are all messages that I feel are particularly relevant in today's political climate in this country.
An injury to one is an injury to all.
Absolutely. And yeah. I think
these are words that some of us actually live our work lives and our life lives by. And I think that's probably why it was, for me and Ian, why it was double feels, because this is what we do.
It's certainly something that's come in for me as I've become much more politically minded of late. And it is certainly representative of where my own personal politics has taken me, you know, which is quite a relief when you go on sort of a spiritual political vision quest, whatever. Unfortunately, ayahuasca was impossible to find. But you know, what if you do all that soul searching and it turns out you're a fucking Tory? I mean, what do you do then? That's just horrible.
You just give up.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, somebody's making films about young men who have to tell their parents, "Mum, Dad, I'm a Tory. Get out of my house." That would have happened.
They're all in Birmingham this week.
They're all in Birmingham.
They're all on Grindr. It's fucking ridiculous.
Somebody should go on Grindr and publish a list of all the Tory MPs he finds on there. If only there was a journalist on hand to do that. Funny how it's not happening, actually.
No.
Now I've said that, I do find it weird that it isn't. You'd think that'd be a good scoop for someone in the gutter press, but...
It would put us in an untenable position, though.
Wouldn't it be horrible? What do you do with that?
It would be awful. Because can you imagine somebody says, "Oh, these MPs are gay." And on the one hand, we'd be going, "Tory fuckers." And on the other hand, we'd be going, "So? People are gay, get over it." So like, it would put us in an awkward position.
It's the whole, we totally condemned this when someone did it in Rio. Oh, God. Now it's just against people we hate, so it's okay. Oh, no. That's terrible. But yeah, oh dear. So yeah, I pardon me. Yeah, I got a lot out of this politically as well. I kind of want to watch it again now. That's what I said that out loud. I didn't expect that. I'd be willing to watch this again pretty soonish.
Actually. You very, very, very rarely ever rewatch something you've seen once.
No, that's not true. Well, actually, depends what it is. Some things I will watch ad nauseum. Yeah. Other things once and then never again for the rest of my life. It's an odd one. And there is no in between.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Exactly. I mean, God knows how many times I've seen
The
Burbs.
I'm looking forward to watching it again with my daughter person.
It's a very empowering story. To be perfectly honest, with some very admirable characters. I mean,
Russell Tovey.
Oh, Russell Tovey's character hit me in the feels.
Oh.
Yes.
Russell Tovey's character is on screen for maybe 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And
yes, I didn't realize he was in it when I watched it.
You blinked. And it's just a conversation that you have with one of the main characters as they're leaving a club, and Russell Tovey's character is very, very drunk, and he says that he's on a farewell tour, and the realization comes across the main character that he's on a farewell tour because he's been diagnosed with HIV, and he's not going to last much longer. And that's the entire scene, and it hit me in the feels, and I think that's one of the points where I cried.
I sobbed like a baby at that bit. It was when he said, "You're a beautiful man, Mark." And I was like, I'm going to go again.
It was possibly a little too short for the film for its time, considering that was slap bang in the middle of the emergence of the whole AIDS epidemic. But it was nice that they did include it at all. And they did it so well for, like you say, for like 45 seconds.
It was the best performance I've ever seen from him as an actor. He tends to play characters that wind me up. That's not his fault as such.
I'm just going through being human at the moment. I get you.
Yeah. It's just, I'm used to hearing him whine. That's the thing. Whereas in this, he was actually quite, as you say, it was a very powerful moment. That kind of hits you out of nowhere.
Mm.
As it does for the character. I mean, like you say, they're leaving the club and he's walking past someone who recognizes him and gets grabbed. And they do it really well in making it have the same effect on the audience as it's having on the character. And
it floors him, doesn't it? Completely floors Mark.
Mark is the one who always has a response. He's always got a comeback. He's always got words. And he is... He's rendered completely speechless. He doesn't know what to say. Because it's obvious that they had a past. And he just doesn't know what to say to this person who he, at the very least, used to have a connection with. Because there's nothing he can say to make it better.
It is an extremely powerful moment. It really is. See, nothing bad to say about this film. Nothing bad. It's actually very tricky. We would. I don't know that we'd have done this for movies you should see, you know. Because
there's not much bad to say about it.
Yeah. You've got to have, you aim for stuff that's sort of a mix of both. And we always stayed away from comedies. I'm not saying, well, it's too late now. We're doing it. You know, it's fine. I'm just saying. I'm reminiscing, if anything, back in the day. You remember movies you should see?
I do.
That was cool, wasn't it? God. What else do we have?
And now we have the much more confusing name, Movies You Should Ask or Don't Tell.
Yes.
I don't see what the problem is.
No, it slips off the tongue. It's perfect. What do we have here? Oh, yeah, the coal miners' strike that began. Oh, right, no, ignore that. While there would be more than a... Okay, ignore that. Sorry, I'm just being useless. The film was criticised for not using Welsh actors and for its almost complete lack of ethnic minority characters. To be fair, I think you could go to South Wales in 1984 and see a complete lack of ethnic minority people. So...
Yep.
I don't know.
And knowing how I feel about representation on screen, I'm actually agreeing with you on this. There weren't huge swathes of black people in small mining villages in Wales.
Having travelled to Wales in recent years, black people still very thin on the ground.
Yeah.
Out there. So, you know, wind things back in time 25 years and it didn't get better. You know, the coloured people haven't left Wales.
Sorry, the what?
Did I use the wrong word?
Yes, you did.
Sorry?
Absolutely. Black people, you mean. Black people. Coloured.
Sorry, okay, right. Yes.
No.
Oh, God, when you say it back to me, I sound like Bernard fucking Manning.
Yes, you do.
Right, there was one, sorry. So, yeah, arguably, that would have been shoehorning people in, because they weren't there. So, maybe in some of the London scenes, though, I don't know. I suffer through not looking out for these things, because it's obviously not something that's at the forefront of my mind. I'm annoyingly represented. Too much. You know. What else do we have? There were 2,000 striking miners just 75 miles southeast of London. Oh, were they weren't interested though, were they? That was kind of the point that I took, that they were struggling to find anybody that would take their money.
Yeah, they were phoning around to different mining communities saying, "Hey, we've raised all this money for you. We'd like to give it to you." "Oh, wonderful. What's the name of your organization?" "Well, Gays and Lesbians Support the Miners." Click. As they hang up on them, because they don't want to, they didn't want to accept money from gays and lesbians. So they ended up supporting this Welsh community because they were the one community that didn't just slam the door in their face.
I find it also, it's still kind of otherworldly to me that there was ever this level of hatred and outspoken vitriol towards the LGBT community. Not to say there is none now, but, you know, we're past the bricks through windows phase, aren't we? Is that
for the most part?
I didn't come out properly until I was nearly 42 years old.
Right.
Okay. And that was because, I mean, I grew up in these times and yeah, it was a huge thing. It's a massive thing. Gaylord was still an acceptable insult.
Oh yeah. I'm just, what I'm saying is I didn't experience that. That has never in my life been my experience of how you treat gay people.
And it takes a particular level of vitriol to respond to the comment of, "We have money, we would like to give it to you."
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, this is the thing. Yeah. I remember absolutely Gaylord being an acceptable insult. I do remember that when I was a kid. But yeah, this level of, "No, we don't want your money," that's, you're right, Ian, that is an extra special level of hate. Hate to your own detriment, which is something quite special in its own way. I just it seems I have to, you know, even though it's relatively recent, I'm learning about it like it's history.
Yeah,
you know, and of course things aren't perfect, but thank God we're not there. You know, at least if I, again, jump in and correct me if I'm way off base, because obviously I don't suffer any sort of, well, I do get some abuse as I walk around, but that's just a different thing. So what else do we have? Is there anything we're missing? Anything in particular you want to talk about?
Just the thing, see the film. I know it's awful because I didn't watch it for nearly 2 years because people were telling me, see this film. But really, see this film. Really good.
It came out almost exactly 2 years ago. It was September 2014. And yeah, everyone, including my mum, phoned me and said, you need to watch this film. It's really good. And when your mum's telling you to watch a film, you think, I'll get around to it. When it's on Netflix, which it isn't on Netflix, as Richard found out this evening.
It has been on Netflix, and that's what confused me.
Oh, okay.
I think it's been and gone from Netflix. But I give this film a very comfortable Richard 4 stars out of 5, which is as well as it could have hoped to have done, which is a firm recommendation. That's how it goes.
I'm giving it a 5. I'm giving it a 5 stars because I'm looking forward to watching it again. Even though I know it's going to happen.
I'll explain briefly my rating system to you. 1 star is, what the fuck? Someone gave you money to make that. Give it back. 2 stars is, no, that wasn't very good. No. 3 stars is, oh, it's all right, that, yeah. No, you'll be fine with that. It's all right. 4 stars is, oh, you really have to see this. Really, you should see this. And 5 stars is reserved for, how have you been alive and not seen that? That's your more epics, your Jaws, your Great Escape, your Jurassic Parks, you know, your sort of landmark cinematic behemoths that everyone
Anchorman
alive...
Anchorman 2, then.
Anchorman 2, that sort of thing, yes.
If we're having Anchorman 2 in there, then we're having bloody pride in there as well.
And so... so that's it. That's why I give it 4. That's my rating system. I'm explaining it to new people.
Even based on your rating system, I'm going to give it 5 still.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I'd give it 5 gin tonics out of 5.
I kind of prefer your rating system now. That's better than
And the last time I was on a Movies You Should See, based on exactly the same scoring system, I gave a movie 0. But this time we're gonna go with 5 for pride.
Yeah, we had to allow you a 0. What the fuck was that about? What film was that?
It was Heathers.
Oh, you really didn't like that, did you?
Get out!
No, you really didn't like it.
When was the last time you watched Heathers, Dee?
Probably when it came out.
Rewatch it, and I think you'll probably see why I thought it was... A 0.
There are a few...
Because you're probably remembering it through rose-tinted glasses.
There are more than a few gay slurs in there, aren't there?
There's a staged gay suicide because the gays commit suicides.
God, you're right as well!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody...
Oh, fuck off.
It's like somebody got a book of gay insults and just copied it into the script. All of it, the whole book.
Richard texted me the afternoon that he was watching it in readiness for the show. After I'd already watched it, he texted me saying, oh God, I asked you to watch this.
I didn't realize. It's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't. It's never that. Yeah. The problem is, it's not normally a problem. It's that I've not come across another film that carries so much homophobia in it without it being a specific homophobic movie or something. And I'm struggling to think of one of those now I've said it, but it's just so full of it. It's horrible. And it's like, of all the films I could have asked you to watch, here we go. Here, watch this about people like you just being abused. It's
and horrible. And then high school shootings and bombing in a high school. There was so much that I think back in the 80s, when it was made, it was probably much more socially acceptable. But now, the high school stuff is far too close to the bone, and the gay stuff is just fucking wrong.
I had sort of images in my mind of you sat on your sofa thinking, is Rich telling me to kill myself? What the fuck is going on? Is this a message? Is that what this is?
I think a lot of us were just going, Christian Slater at the time. Not really paying much attention to the story.
But Pride gets 5. We'll give it 5.
Heathers can fuck off.
Yep.
They should remake that.
We reviewed that film really quickly at the end.
Do you know what? They should remake it. It should be remade because you could, aside from all that, the homophobic stuff in it, and to be fair, the homophobia comes from dickhead characters. It's not glorified. It's not a film promoting homophobia. But you could just take all that shit out, and what you're left with is still a decent film. And they should make that bit be a film so that we can enjoy the story without all the homophobia. That's my recommendation to Hollywood. Hey, they're remaking fucking everything anyway. Why not?
Making a live-action Lion King.
Yeah. Hey, that might be quite good. Apparently, The Jungle Book's awesome.
I've heard The Jungle Book's good. I'm not looking forward to Jumanji, especially when I saw the first promo shots that came out of it.
Yeah, it's a very muscled man in very tight lycra, which is normally my thing. But compared to we had Robin Williams before, who was all adorable and funny, it seems a bit of a weird tonal shift.
Is The Rock an attractive man?
Yeah.
Right.
Depends what mood I'm in.
Depends if I can smell what he's been cooking.
Yeah. You think he says that to his family at home when he's made dinner? Because I
when
would.
He's made dinner.
Yeah.
Do you think when he farts, he asks if they can tell what the rocks are eating?
The possibilities are endless. I wish I had a catchphrase like that. I'm going to work on that. I need a catchphrase. Yeah.
The People's Podcast.
I actually think The Rock is secretly extremely gay. I do think that's the thing. I am basing that on watching him be himself, not acting and nothing else, which I'm aware is not really good enough. But
but it's also probably good enough not to be liable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't in any way. He's not. I don't. You know, this is purely my bad opinion, really. So probably not in any way liable at all. You probably shouldn't. I maintain my position. Sue me and make me the most famous podcaster on the planet Earth. Please, anyone out there, I'll be the first. If you want to make me the first, you make me the first. I got no money for you, but you can make me famous. So, hey, whatever you feel like doing. But not for homophobia, please. That wouldn't be. The Rock is obviously whatever The Rock. I'm in a hole again.
Yeah.
You really are. So, for once, I haven't dived in after you.
And the man could pick me up and break me in half without breaking a sweat. Just like, I'll just start.
And not in a sexual way.
Not in a fun way, no. In a just literally bad way. We've all seen him wrestle. God, he's huge.
We have. He is.
It's huge. Right, at the beginning of Is It Welcome to the Jungle, when he walks past Arnie in the nightclub, and you see that Arnie is little compared to The Rock, and you think, God, Arnie's nearly 70 and he could beat the shit out of me. God. Yeah, anyway. You don't need to stop me talking a lot more than you know.
No, we don't.
That's all I'm saying.
Although, Pride is a good movie. All of us agree that it's a 4 or above.
Yeah.
You should probably watch it. You might cry unless you're like Richard, who doesn't cry at films at all because he doesn't really feel human emotion.
I told you, An American Tale. I told you that made me cry.
Yes. Not Five All Goes West, because that was shit.
Yes.
Because that was shit, yeah.
And any film where the dog dies, also.
But you don't watch the films where the dog dies.
That's why. I don't want to cry. Who wants to watch a film to cry? I don't get that.
Don't you?
No. Never have.
Do you not ever feel the need to have a big release of... Oh, no, sorry, who am I talking to?
But that's because...
Same ocean.
But But that's because if I ever have that, it's because I'm genuinely releasing emotion and it's happening. So I don't know. I don't listen to sad songs either.
As I cried at a Nat West advert earlier. So.
Which one?
That black and white one. Yes, we're all inspiration, we're all visionaries, blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
no.
I love that.
I think I was a bit hungover, to be fair, but...
Do you know what you've reminded me? The Apple Think Different commercial makes me cry.
Oh.
That does, that is one thing that makes me cry.
Is that just because you haven't found a kidney broker yet?
I'm still looking. Here's to the crazy ones.
Absolutely.
I did want to learn it at some point, but I never did. I learned Ice Ice Baby instead. It's worth
one
it.
Day,
it is worth
one day
it,
me
right?
And you are going to be in a pub and we will have a wrap off to Ice Ice Baby.
It is
day
worth
is not
it.
Not that day, but it's going to happen.
I knew it was one of those things. Like I literally drove around in my car for months playing Ice Ice Baby on repeat. Learned it so that one time I happened to be doing karaoke on a night out, I could just whip out Ice Ice Baby, blow everyone's fucking minds.
See, I can do Ice Hell Ice yeah. Baby. I can also do Boom Shake the Room and Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
We have almost got an album here.
We have. If you add in Rapper's Delight, which I also know every word to.
Holy shit, yeah. Oh, this is the album.
It is.
This is it, absolutely. Right? Is we're onto a winner here. We're onto
yeah,
a winner here.
I've got a load of NWA and Public Enemy on as well.
I'm not sure I should do NWA. I think.
I'm not sure why you're whispering.
I think some of it might invite criticism.
That's fine. I'll do NWA. You can do Vanilla Ice.
It's one of those. All right, if I do it on my own in the car, but I probably shouldn't do Fuck the Police and try and release it. It's not for me, really. I mean, it's one of those things, you know. So yeah.
But you could do Vanilla Ice. You can do Snow. I'm sure there's other white rappers.
Eminem. There's Eminem.
Eminem. Yeah. See,
but,
Eminem.
But that is it. It is
Professor
those...
Green.
Oh, I hate him.
Oh, me too. What
I hate him. You look at his face, and I hear this. I hear a sound when I look at him, which is a weird thing. I'm aware, and he's the only person that it happens with, but I look at him and I hear the noise. Eh. I don't know what that is, but I imagine he makes that noise. He's got such a weasel little ratty face. And why does he have that moustache? I hate Professor Green. Eh.
And he's inconsiderate.
I'm Professor Green.
He's really inconsiderate. Eh. He woke my ex-wife up when she was sleeping in a tent by being an absolute tosspot.
Bastard.
Yeah, I don't like him either. Yeah, fuck him.
Bastard. Yeah.
Anywho, Pride's a good film.
So thank you for listening to our show. Do you remember we were actually recording a podcast there? I forgot for a little bit. There's something about how I hate Professor Green.
Thank you for tuning into our incoherent ramble for an hour and a half.
Never knowingly overprepared.
So that was our show. Oh, dear God. That was our show. So I hope you tune in next week for another one. And then when you realise we're not on the radio, you go and download next week's show from the internet after typing in a URL or subscribing to the show on iTunes or some other popular podcasting service. SoundCloud, we're on there. Audio Boom, we're all over the place. I used to do YouTube videos, but no one played them, so can't be asked. So, you know. So failing that, go and sign up to Simply Everything at simplysyndicated.com/everything. And that helps our website out, so we keep making these shows and stuff like that. And I buy food to live with. It's nice. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we also have a Patreon at simplysyndicated.com. No, that's Patreon sites are on patreon.com/simplysyndicated. Yeah, never mind. You'll find it. You are all such clever people. So until next week, bye bye.